All right, we have an awesome, awesome YouTuber from Russia, from Moscow, currently Rostov-on-Don, Konstantin, Inside Russia. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me, Igor.
So we have an excellent possibility to actually have a little bit information about you and about the current situation in Russia, since everybody is talking about it for 4 months, of course, and we don't know how long will this world-scale interest continue.
Hello, Igor, and thanks for having me. My name is Konstantin, and I run a YouTube channel called Inside Russia, where I basically inform people on what is going on inside Russia on a daily basis. Again, thanks for having me.
And everybody should subscribe because the content is great.
Well, first check out the content and then make a decision, subscribe or not.
Or that way, yes. What's the story of your channel? How did you become you that we all know?
I was born and raised in USSR, then Russia. And then at quite early age of 20, I moved to the USA, where I spent about 9 years, moved back to Russia. Then I lived outside of Russia for 2 more years in Uzbekistan and 1 year in Ukraine. Traveled all over the world. And I have so many friends and family all over the world, constantly communicating with them, constantly messaging, writing letters. And a lot of people were asking questions about Russia. My understanding has been that Russia is very misunderstood and actually not understood at all by many foreigners, because Russia is just so big, huge, white spot, and the information about Russia is scarce and true, for the most part, not truth. So I decided to do a blog originally, and I figured that what I write about Russia to my friends and family would be interesting for other people to learn. And at first I thought I'd do a blog, but then who reads any longer? Everyone watches videos, so I decided to start a YouTube channel. Originally, I called it Letters to King, because I was writing letters to a friend of mine, King Weinstein, from Orchard Beach, Maine. And I was telling him about like how real estate in Moscow is and so forth. And then it struck me, boom, I should do a YouTube channel. And then I renamed it to Inside Russia. It's more informative. And basically, at first, it was educational and entertaining. I was showing life in Russia from my own perspective, through my eyes, so to speak. It was like a hobby. But then February 24th came, everything changed. So I've been doing daily updates ever since, and I'm still showing how life in Russia is, but at a little different perspective.
So when did this happen? Did I miss it? What day? What year did you start this? The Letters to King, and then
I started about 3 years ago.
Yeah, the same year I started also. What you live in Moscow now? You're elsewhere, but your main place is Moscow currently, in Russia. What's it like to live in Moscow? What's Moscow like, and what about comparing it to abroad? Living abroad, since you have this broad experience.
Fantastic city. Moscow is one of the best places I've ever been to, best cities, and probably the best for living these days. Not for long. Moscow has come along a lot. So much money has been invested by the current government, current administration into Moscow. If you travel now in the summer of 2022, you find yourself being in a fantastic, very comfortable place to live. I call it the imperial city at its peak. Everything is new. Roads are brand new. You know, tons of new redesigned streets, completely redone. New housing. Extremely clean. You know, so many stores. It's so convenient, comfortable to live. It's beautiful, okay? Again, there's so much money has been poured up to Moscow over the past 10 years. So much new construction. So, Moscow is fantastic.
Some might people not. It's not a separate large question, but people would argue, those who want to stay in that certain viewpoint about Russia, that everything is bad, they would say, well, it's only Moscow. What about the rest of Russia, which is huge? Is it so? That's
Moscow, they are absolutely, St. Petersburg? And they would be absolutely right. Moscow is a country within its own, as we in Russia call it. Moscow is not Russia. Yeah. It's the capital of Russia. And then there is Russia. So Moscow is the richest, the most developed city in Russia, the most comfortable. But you know what? I live between Moscow and Rostov. I was born and raised in the south of Russia. And I can compare with Rostov. Rostov has come along a lot lately. Same thing, much more improved, much more developed, much cleaner than it used to. I recently traveled to the city of Krasnodar. Same thing, much better than it used to. So the entire Russia, I would say, improved in terms of comforts of living, in terms of urban development and so forth. But Moscow is way better than any other city in Russia.
What's the situation now? What do Russians think about this situation that started in 24th of February? Short answer, because the theme, as we know, you covered it hundreds of hours, and we're not able to go through that here. But what would you, 3 points or how many points you want to bring up? Go ahead.
Russian society is split in two camps. One camp supports this event, and another camp opposes this event. The first camp is much larger than the second one. The ones who support amount to, my estimation, about 75%. And this is the numbers I heard from Russian government, from Dmitry Peskov himself. He said about 75% of Russians support. And I totally agree, because this is what I'm seeing around me.
Because it's governmental, it might be bigger than it is.
What's
because,
that?
Because it's government. If it's governmental statistics, it might be a bit bigger than.
But I second that myself, because yeah, what I'm seeing around me with my eyes. Okay, I think that he's right. Correct. Give or take.
Okay,
it's about 3/4 who support, 1/4 who doesn't support, who don't support. This is my opinion, but I agree with the government's opinion here. So that's basically it. And the ones who support, they used to be outspoken in the past months, and now they are much less outspoken. A lot of people, due to some reasons, there are different reasons, but they talk less about that. And the ones who don't support, the ones who oppose, they speak much, much less of that these days.
Yeah, it's something I see also, that the only thing I see in St. Petersburg, I call them silent protests, is like written in different places, a couple of words. But do you think, it's a hard question, you don't need to answer if you don't like it, but or don't want to. In Finland, for example, some people demand that these people who support it are like equally responsible. That's what they say. Do you agree with that? Or are the normal people who support that, if it's 75%, are they equally responsible?
Igor, I both don't like this question and I both don't want to answer. But you know what? This is my position. I answer anyway. I don't like this whole thing that is happening. I don't like going and streaming live every day. I'd rather not do that, okay? Mm-hmm. But I do it anyway, so I will answer. I think, this is my personal opinion, speaking for myself, I think that every single Russian citizen and voter is responsible for things that happen inside of his or her country. I think we, Russians, are responsible for everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
What is the economical and maybe political effect of the situation on Russia? And is there any positive effect?
Both political and economical effects are profound for Russia. they're life-changing, history-changing events. Well, effects.
Mm-hmm.
Political. Well, again, we can talk about what is happening politically in Russia for hundreds of hours. Okay, that's such a complicated topic. But to summarize, Russia has changed its course abruptly and turned into a different direction. From what I understand, we're going back to the USSR model, USSR 2.0, and we're going there fast. And in some ways, we are already there. That's political. The economical effect is also profound. If I can speak 100 hours about political effect, I could speak 300 hours for about the economical effect, because what has been happening is crazy. First of all, the biggest things. Russia has lost its most valuable tool of well-being. It's lost oil and gas. You see, Russia is the most money that Russia makes comes from selling natural gas and oil. And Russia's strongest and the best customers are in Europe, European countries. Everyone knows that. We provide, it's easy to sell gas to Europe because we have direct borders. We just built a pipeline, that's it. We're cashing in every single minute. Same with oil. And all of a sudden, due to some actions of Russia, the reaction is that Europeans will not buy our gas and oil anymore. We have lost, or partially lost, and I think completely will lose in some time, our best customers, our money-making. Russian economy is going to take a huge hit in 2023. It has taken already. But we still continue selling gas, although gas has decreased, but oil is the same. And Russia is still doing financially okay because the price of oil has spiked. Okay, so we're still making lots of money. But the thing is, that's very, very short-term effect. We all understand that oil is going to plummet in price. And gas is going to probably go up. But Russia is not going to sell it to anyone. So this is just huge. Another huge effect is that government has started regulating Russian economy. Basically, less free markets, more government control. This is also huge. This is, it goes in terms, in line with going back to the USSR 2.0. You know, it's just not good for the economy in general, because people, entrepreneurs, will be leaving Russia. They have been leaving already, but people will be discouraged from doing business. People will be more dependent on the government. And the ones who disagree, the ones who really want to work, make money, make good products, there are other countries, there are other markets to be in. And the third effect is the sanctions. The Western sanctions. Russia is number one sanctioned country in the world, with over 10,000 sanctions being placed upon it. Most of Western companies have left or have plans of leaving Russia. That is absolutely insanely, terribly huge news for us. Technologies are leaving, management systems are leaving, companies who used to pay lots of taxes and employ tens of thousands of people are leaving or have left. It's a huge blow. It changes everything in the economy. It's been 4.5 months now since the start of the event, and 4 months since most companies and governments have placed sanctions. But the effects, we're just getting early bird signs, so to speak, okay? Because in economy, it takes time. There's certain inertia.
What will happen then when the even worse will happen? What will happen?
Towards the end of the year, and first part of 2023. In my mind, a huge disaster, economic disaster. In my mind, we have an economic tsunami coming towards Russia, and we will see it, I think, around New Year, perhaps by February, something like that. I will be so happy if I'm wrong. Okay, but time will tell, but it's obvious to me that things are not good.
You mentioned the Russian workforce, so is there a lot of what's the situation with the Russian labor, because all these companies are leaving, and those who have still maintained their jobs, is there any pay cuts, for example, that they have been forced to?
First of all, a lot of people have left Russia. It's official, okay? The Russian government admitted a lot of IT professionals have left. People who can work anywhere in the world, so to speak, who do remote work, a lot of them have left. I saw it with my own eyes because the month of April I spent in Uzbekistan on a business trip, and I saw tons of Russians everywhere. Really hard to rent an apartment in Tashkent because the prices are up because there's too many Russians. Supply is limited, demand is huge. Mm-hmm. And demand spiked in March and April. So Uzbekistan is full of Russians. I heard Armenia, Georgia,
yes.
Azerbaijan are full of Russians. Turkey, Istanbul, definitely full of Russians. So, and at the same time, now listen to me very careful. At the same time, we have unemployment rising. Okay, these two things, they don't mix. One thing, we have so many Russians left, it means there will be less people to fill positions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as the Minister of Labor of Russian Federation, that's official news, he just a couple of weeks ago confirmed that unemployment is on the rise. It means that
these are wealthy people who leave because they have
so many companies left. Even more jobs were lost than people left. Okay, mm-hmm. Because it's obvious. If you go to a shopping mall, you will see McDonald's alone, 65,000 people out of jobs. They're trying to replace those jobs with this Russian company, but you know what? Just a few restaurants open in Moscow. That's it. Inditex, a huge employer, employed, I don't know, probably tens of thousands of people all over Russia. Siemens, General Electric. And I'm just telling you this big names, but thousands of companies have left and they've closed all the positions. They eliminated jobs. Okay. That's a huge blow. What are these people going to do who are out of the job now? Another problem is those who remain at their jobs, the markets have been imploding and there are just fewer work available, less work available. And people are not getting fired, but a lot are switched from 5 work days to 3 work days. Therefore, their payment is cut by half or by 40%. I've seen companies that have done that. I've talked to people. There are so many of them. That's a huge blow. See, these blows to the economy, they cannot go unnoticed. And it's like multiplier effect from now. It started mm-hmm. and it's going to go forward, increasing and increasing.
Is there any way out in this situation?
Well,
what was the
really
what would
caught
be,
me by surprise with this question.
Huh? Sorry? Surprise
you. You caught me by surprise by this question.
What would be, no, just...
As an economist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see that there's a... Well, of course, there's a way out. There's a way out of everything, right? The question is, there's no doubt in my mind that Russia will survive this huge disaster. Russian people will live. They will not die. They will not starve to death. The question is, how well they're going to be living? Russia is isolated, economy is hurting so much. It's basically like Titanic. You know, it's been hit. The music is still playing, but the water is filling the vessel, you know. Not everyone on Titanic died. There were so many people that actually were saved. And Russians will not die of starvation, like I said. But the question is what to do next. I think the only way for Russia to get better economically, like minimize the effects of this whole mess, right, is that to stop a special military operation and to speak to international community and find terms how to be a part of the world again, how to, you know, be not mm-hmm. isolated, how to come back and be accepted in one way or another by international community. Well, what I keep on hearing from Russian leader that everything is going according to the plan, 4.5 months, everything is going according to the plan. This economic sanctions, I don't know whether they were part of a plan or not. I hope not. I hope it wasn't part of the plan that Finland and Sweden joining NATO. I hope it wasn't part of the plan that, you know, so many companies left Russia. So I don't really see how Russia is going out of the situation if everything is going according to the plan, according to our leaders. I don't see an end to it, really. The only thing I can do, and the Russians can do, is we can pray and do that. I won't even speak of anything else, you know. That's
it. I have questions that with the huge topics, so answer shortly because you're going to get too tired. How do you perceive, how Russian media has been covering this special operation? Like, in what kind of ways?
Russian media supports special military operation 100%. There is no space for people or media that doesn't support. There are laws created in February 24 of 2022 that clearly state that if a person or a media outlet says anything, writes anything that contradicts official information about special military operation, about actions of Russian army and so forth, is a subject to criminal investigation and prosecution up to 15 years in prison.
I think it's got tightened also, not the media, but on individuals.
Media as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for everyone. It's for media, it's for the journalists, for regular people. And there were a couple radio stations that they didn't support pro-government position. They're called Silver Rain and Echo Dost. Moscow.
Yeah.
Серебряный дождь и Эхо Москвы.
They closed. There was a
Серебряный дождь, yes. They closed on their own. No one forced them to close because they felt that the reporters not safe any longer to talk freely. So they basically closed.
Okay. So is it, how active is it to cover the situation then, the operation?
Situation is covered very actively. I mean, there's plenty of media in Russia. It's on daily basis everywhere. Everywhere you see, from the TV, from internet, from radio. They cover it.
How do you perceive Sweden and Finland joining NATO then? What do you think? What's the Russia's actions going to be towards Sweden and Finland, and this situation now in July? Of course, we haven't heard anything new.
Right after Sweden and Finland decided to join NATO, Russian President Vladimir Putin spoke to Finnish, either president or prime minister. I don't remember who. I think president. And he was very chilled about that. He said, Finland is okay. It's not a threat to us, even if a part of NATO. So he sent us a message that our attitude towards Finland hasn't changed much. Okay, my attitude definitely has not changed towards Finland. Regular Russians, no, not much. At least nothing I know of. Sweden, kind of same thing. We know less about Sweden than about Finland, because Finland is our closest friend, and you know, so many people from Russia just been to Finland and so forth. But we know Sweden is more of a mystery to us. But my attitude, and I think most of Russians, have not changed their attitude towards Sweden as well.
So there's no actions gonna be taken. I don't mean these actions that some YouTubers, I don't mention the names even, that try to, you know, they try to trigger people with some questions. I'm not talking about no attacks or something. I mean, like, realistically speaking, it's like sanctions or something.
My dear Igor, I myself personally will not take any actions towards Finland or Sweden, but I can speak for myself. You see, I was absolutely sure before 24th of February that Russia would never take any actions against Ukraine, because it would be like shooting ourselves in our own feet, both feet. And yet I was so wrong. So I have no clue, because this world is too unpredictable and too fast changing and run by the interests that I don't truly really understand.
Last question, hopefully on a brighter note, what has to happen, even though you sort of answered, but still, how can some level of cooperation resume with Russia and the West from now on?
Russia is open for cooperation. A lot of Russians are thinking that all the Western companies are going to come back the second special military operation is over. I don't believe it's the case. Okay, but Russia has not limited the operations of Western companies. It's Western companies and governments' will to stop operating in Russia and cooperating with Russia. In order for the companies to come back and economic collaboration to come back, Russia needs to take steps. It needs to come back and negotiate with the international community, basically. It needs to come on terms with Ukraine, come on terms with the European Union, the United States, and, well, it's like a business partnership, you know. If everyone has to be interested, everyone has to agree. So Russia has to make everyone agree. It has to make actions that everyone agrees, everyone takes Russia back. That's plain and simple. Is this probable? Is this possible? Yes. Is this probable? No, I don't think so. At least in the very near time.
Konstantin, Inside Russia, thanks a lot for your time. Your views are deep inside Russia and really eye-opening. So thank you for telling us your take on it, your experience.
Igor, thank you for having me. You also run a great channel, and it's a pleasure, honor to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and everybody should subscribe, of course, to Inside Russia for more. There you actually talk about those hundreds of hours that you mentioned about those topics.
All right. I think everyone should subscribe to your channel too.
All right, thank you.
See you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.